Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Kenyan-Australian musician Brazen Barbie began her creative journey at a young age. She grew up surrounded by music at home and went on to play cello and sing as a kid. Spurred by a hunger to push her own boundaries and vulnerabilities, Brazen Barbie's ability to inject her own voice into music that is simultaneously raw and fresh has seen her repeatedly turn heads. With hits like Check and Don't Talk, celebrating confidence, independence, and divine femininity. And while her braggadocious bars enamor on their own, it's also Brazen Barbie's playful punchlines that soften the gritty blow of her lyricism, revealing a depth and aptitude equally so powerful as her magnetic releases. She has previously performed at the Sydney Fringe Festival, Big Sound, SXSW, and Promised Land. She was also inducted into the Acclaim magazine All-Stars class of 2024 and has garnered features on Vice and Acclaim, amongst many others. In 2025, she released her mixtape Brazen, which included the single Ain't No Dummy. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Brazen Barbie.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
So I'm in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm very good. How about you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you for asking. How and where and what was the inspiration to choose the stage name Brazen Barbie?
A lot of people don't know Brazen's a real word. It means bold without shame. So I like the strength of the word. And also growing up, I got called brutally honest and strong. So I put that and Barbie together because I loved Barbies. And yeah, that's how I came up with it.
From what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be creating music, I want to be in this world, and how did that journey progress?
As young as I can remember, I always wanted to be an artist, but I didn't think that anyone could do it. So I started playing cello when I was in primary school, and then I started making my own music when I was around 16, 17, that's when I started properly releasing. And yeah, it's just kept going from there.
You referenced earlier that at a young age, you didn't think anyone could do it. At what point did you realize that anyone could do it?
Probably around the age that I started properly making music. You know, when you see the big stars, you don't think that you can just go to a studio and make music, especially not in Australia, which is pretty isolated. It's not really a accessible thing. And creativity isn't as broad here. So yeah, probably around 16, 17 when I seen people around me making music, yeah.
So I suppose it's a full process of, you know, if you don't see someone in your sphere beyond social media and television, if you don't really see someone like you doing it in your network, you think it can't happen. But the minute you see someone like you, in inverted commas, progressing and doing it, then that click in the brain is like, oh, well, they can do it, why can't I?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you create a song?
I like to create based on what I'm feeling. Sometimes I start with the beat. Sometimes I start with the writing and then I'll then put a beat to it. But I don't really have one specific way of creating. It kind of changes depending on the day, the people around me, such as the producers, the inspiration around me, whether it's stuff that I'm going through or what I'm feeling. So yeah, it changes depending on the day.
You referenced that you are surrounded by producers. Do you ever, when writing, collaborate with other writers, or is it more sort of a soul creation?
No, so I write everything myself, but obviously the producers, they write the score, they put the beat together.
What is coming up next? What's happening over the next few months?
So I dropped my first mixtape. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. So yeah, now it's just all about taking it all in. And yeah, promoting that.
I've heard this reference before. What is a mixtape?
Well, the way I saw it was, it's my chance to experiment. You can put everything together, things that you wouldn't normally do. A collection of shorter songs as well, as opposed to albums that may have longer songs and features, etc. Yeah, so the mixtape is just me, pretty much.
Okay, so I suppose it's like, instead of having sort of a, like an album's sort of got a story, whereas a mixtape is like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, testing things out, seeing what works, is exactly what it's called. It's like a mixtape.
Yes. And I think that works better with my artistry because I like doing a little bit of everything. I don't like have, I wouldn't like to do an album full of the same kind of sounds because I get bored. I get bored listening to the same thing. So I think I prefer doing mixtapes because I can just put everything together, experiment, do whatever comes to mind. Yeah, a little bit more freedom in that sense.
Now, when you're collaborating with producers, do they, because you like doing bits and pieces of everything, which is fantastic and great, do the producers ever try and say to you, well, no, you've done it this version or that genre or that way. Why don't you just keep in that lane? Or do you just collaborate with people who are as free-thinking and free-minding as you are, so to speak?
Yeah, pretty much everyone was free-minded, I think, because the way I rap and the way I make music is, it goes together. Yeah, I think everyone was pretty open to the different genres and the different sounds.
So what genres do you tap into?
I did a little bit of jazz, which I really liked. I did a little bit of like garagey, two-step, kind of electronic, dance, which I really like at the moment. Yeah, anything that I would like to listen to and things that I like to listen to but I haven't necessarily done yet, I like to incorporate.
So when you're going to the studio and you have the lyrics of the song, do you know that this is going to be dance or this is going to be jazz, or does it organically come to be as you're creating?
Sometimes I went to the studio with one idea and I did something completely different. No, I wouldn't say every single time I walked in knowing that I was going to do that genre. Some of it was just a nice, happy surprise.
Now, when you're doing a different genre or singing or creating in that space, do you have to take a moment for your brain to say, okay, now I'm doing jazz or now I'm doing dance, or it's very easy for you to switch between the genres?
Oh, I'd say sometimes with dance, it's a little bit hard. Sometimes it's a little bit hard for me to put my own style on it. But the rest of the genres, though, it was jazz and hip-hop, so it was a bit easier to incorporate, yeah.
You rap and sing, correct?
Yes, but I haven't released any singing yet.
Is any of the singing going to be on the mixtape?
No, it's not, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I'm saving it for the next one.
Okay, lovely. Okay, so this I find interesting, because obviously the technique of rapping and the technique of singing is very different. How do you know a song is going to be a rapping song versus a singing song? And when you switch between the two, again, similar with the genres, is it easy for your brain to switch to know, okay, now I'm rapping compared to singing? Or does it take a moment for your brain to differentiate the two?
I would say it's pretty easy. Usually the hooks would be the singing component and then the verses would be the rapping. So it's kind of already split up in a sense, yeah.
And have you always been a balance between singing and rapping?
I started singing first, not making my own music singing. But but now I don't sing that much, yeah.
I love me a CD. I love the energy exchange between myself and you for all the hard work that you created. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the thank yous, listening to song from one to whatever number. I am unsure if you are aware the massive uptick of physicals around the world. Last year in the UK, there was 5.9 million albums sold, the biggest since 1990. Also last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. Based on these exchanges, which there needs to be a high number every day, they gauge for some sort of tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs, CDs are now back in the basket. The research is showing that it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids diving into this world, not necessarily the older, nostalgic people in inverted commas. Then we also have streaming platforms that people consume music on. What's your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I think people are turning to physical because you can keep it forever. You kind of own a part of it. Whereas digital, if that's taken off streaming platforms, then it's gone. You don't have it. So yeah, I think it would be great for people to start buying more physical, and also that would support artists a lot better than streaming a song on a digital platform would. So, yeah.
I totally agree with you. I love that because it's in your hand. You've got it. And yeah. No one can take that away from you. And I've often seen some tracks that are saved on Spotify that a couple months later, they were gone. And where's this track? Yeah. I want this track. And then what do you enjoy about performing live?
It puts a face to a name and a sense of people out there that don't know you. It's more personable. I like meeting people. I like being able to showcase my music in a sense and be able to be creative physically instead of in front of a screen.
Seeing a person live perform is they're there, they're doing it. They can do it. Not saying that anyone can't, but you know, these days there's so many, everything is screens. And whereas when you live in front of them, there's no distraction. It's just you and the person just doing your thing.
Yeah. And the energy in the room as well.
Exactly. But then I've got a discussion with you. I'm that guy who's right there in front, dancing and jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two songs, one or two videos, and I put it away. I notice these days that a lot of people are filming and tweeting and videoing again, or for a lot of the show. Do you find that maybe that takes away from that energy and that connection you referenced, or it's just where society is at this stage?
I would say it kind of adds to it, because if they're videoing it, then they obviously, one, are enjoying it, and two, maybe they want to keep it as a memory. So, no, I don't really have a problem with that.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question today, tomorrow, or the next day, I know your answer will be different. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you could think of specific songs of theirs, what songs would you play?
Okay. Missy Elliott, The Rain. Who else? Project Pat, Out There. Fox. Oh, actually, Eves and Satisfaction.
Sorry, who was that? Eves, did you say?
Eves. TLC and Creep, and let me think of one more. I also I was trying to think of a good one. Boss Man D-Lo.
Nice mix. Some of them I don't have on mine, so I need to add them. So thank you for that. The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the audience, what would you like to say?
First stream Brazen. And thank you for listening. But Brazen is my very first mixtape and has a little bit of everything. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it and you can find it on any streaming platform.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.